let's start with that. It's a slightly different venue for our chat, and well, you tell me. For a place that wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't think of it, it's amazing how many people spend most of the time smiling somewhere like this.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. We obviously came just before Christmas as a group, and naturally when you walk in you're a little uneasy in terms of what to expect, you know, due to the nature of the care here and what they do, but all of us left it going, wow, what a place. And, you know, not just the place, but some of the people here had quite a big impact on the group as a whole. Which is why we didn't want to make it just a one-off thing, you know, just Christmas, a sort of a token visit. We wanted it to be, you know, something that we continued throughout the year, something that, given it's so close to, you know, where we are, that, you know, we can, you know, we can forge a link, forge a relationship, and, you know, try and build on you know, some really important, you know, fantastic work that's done here.
Because you probably wouldn't have seen it at the weekend, but it was a Robins Foundation game, so they had the T-shirts and everything. But when a lot of the teams sort of walked around the pitch before, and you sort of remember how much good work gets done by the foundation, by the football club, and being part of the community, and this is part of that.
Yeah, huge part of it. You only have to look around the garden now, seeing, you know, kids and players playing football together in the sunshine, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you do turn up and expect it to be quite a, you know, a down place, quite a, but it's a complete opposite in terms of, it actually brings a real positive energy in terms of, you know, the work that they do. So I think it's a good reminder for all of us how fortunate we are, how lucky we are as people, and I think what football does a fantastic job of is bring people together and you know, create platforms for people to mix, people to communicate, people to look after each other. COVID was a great example of that, you know, the social side, people being isolated. So, you know, football stadiums are a place to bring, you know, all people from, you know, different backgrounds and different challenges in life together. And, you know, I definitely think it's a, you know, as an industry, it's a fantastic opportunity, you know, to support people.
And you're obviously here raising a bit of awareness today, but it's also about a bit of fundraising as well. So that's something that you're keen to get involved with.
Yeah, well, it's actually something I said to Matt when we came here, in December. Must have been around January, February. There was a little lad, Charlie, here that had quite a big impact on all of us, and who came to you know, a couple of games before he unfortunately passed away. And it was something that we said, kind of, what can we do? What can we give back? And I said to Matt, you know, let's think of something. Let's do something for charity. So much to one James Krause, one of the staff's delight, when he agreed to do something for charity, thinking it would be a little fun run or a little bike ride. We've obviously signed up to do a 24-hour hike up and down Pennyfan 10 times, which I've been told is the equivalent of doing Everest. So we've definitely gone big on the challenge. So we're hoping to raise as much as we can, you know, for, like I said, such a fantastic place and a fantastic cause.
Okay, and if people listen to this thing or are interested in donating to that, how can they get involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, the website will have the details on it. That'll definitely our, you know, the social media platforms will, especially as we get closer to it, we'll obviously start pushing the link out there. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's an unbelievable place, and you know, if people can support us, you know, whatever it, however big or small, it's hugely appreciated, because it's going to, like I said, such a worthy place.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, we also have to ask him slightly more mundane questions, as well as this. Let's do the injury stuff first. Any idea in terms of who may be available or may not be available for Saturday?
Yeah, probably go. Eamon's going to be out the rest of the season, unfortunately, so I'll throw that one, so you don't need to ask me about that in the coming weeks. As with Cal Naismith, unfortunately, them two. Reoccurrence of injuries, which is frustrating. Rob's very, very close. He's been in training today, so it's just a case of seeing how he responds to that. And then Zach's been out on the grass with the medical staff today as well, so you know, there's a slim chance he's available for Saturday as well. So hopefully we'll have the two. If not, I'm definitely hopeful for one of them.
Okay, which will definitely help for Eamon. It just more frustration for him. It's a hamstring injury, so it's not as serious as his previous ones, but still, I'm sure, pretty gutting for him.
Yeah, definitely. It's in a completely different spot, really high up. Nothing major. It's a 4-week injury, which obviously we've so little left. And it's a common thing. We really do have to look at it in the summer in terms of what we do and how we operate and how we work. And I've had, you know, some really initial conversations with Brian around what does that look like and where do we go with it, because it's across the game, so something across the game's wrong. So, you know, I think we need to really assess and be brave and go in right and go in a direction that we believe is going to help us.
And for him, I would imagine there'll be a lot of hard work before even pre-season, but if you can sort of get him, what, 2-3 months of good training before the start of the next season, then just hopefully he'll be able to put this behind him once for all.
Yeah, I have to say, I find it incredible how level he stays. You know, he's an extremely intelligent, mature lad, and when you look at how he's given what he's had in the last couple of years, when you look at how he copes with it, how he deals with it, I can't commend him enough in terms of how consistent he is with his attitude, his behaviours, and his emotions. In terms of, you know, some people would be really struggling. Of course, he hates it, he's frustrated, but he actually just channels it into work. So I commend him for that. So hopefully, look, he's obviously now got a couple of months where it's about getting ready for, you know, day one of pre-season, and making sure that the program he has in the off season, you know, allows him to be in the best shape possible for that.
The fact that you're on this unbeaten run, how, I was going to say important, I'm not sure that's the right word, but is it a big deal for you to try and negotiate these last three games and remain at least unbeaten?
Yeah, I'm saying it before Leicester, we kind of chunked it up and went, right, it's a mini 8-game season for us, let's make sure that we finish on a real high, let's make sure we, you know, take as many positives and build as much momentum going into next season as we can. Can we, you know, get some new experiences? And we've spoken a fair bit about it. So again, I think the last, when you look at the last 5 games, the level of performance, but also the result and that balance of the two, I think, you know, we've not played great at times, but got results, and the same as we played terrifically well and won. So again, I think, you know, the weekend was frustrating for everybody, but at the same point, it was another new experience where we've, you know, taken a point from, you know, 90 plus minutes, which is, I think, the first time we've done it. So again, I think it's another experience for us ticked off that hopefully, you know, we'll be able to use going forward next season. And then it's a case of, right, let's have a really, really big push in the final 3 games.
And collectively as a group, obviously you kept the clean sheets before that, the goal went in at the weekend, but the fact that you've got so many players playing in unfamiliar positions, actually, hopefully, many of them quite young as well, that's going to hopefully bode well to try and keep that mentality going into next season.
Definitely that. Like, you know, when I look at it, and I do think so many of the lads have improved and are getting better. And I think it's a big part of how we work and what we do is that, you know. And when you look at it, you know, Anis has progressed and got better. Hayden's progressed, got better. Tommy, you know, Joe, you know, you could reel off a few that I think are improving and finding more consistency. So I think they're the bits. You know, when you know, we are a young group, we are a young team. It's how do we make sure that we reflect on all our experiences and make sure that we become better for it. And again, I think that's what happens as you get older, you get, you know, wiser. It's because you've been through more experience and you've learned more. So again, I think it's definitely something that hopefully is going to stand us in good stead next season.
So Norwich this weekend, you know, you go back probably three or four months, a lot of the fans were calling for the manager's head, and it was all pretty toxic over there. 3 or 4 months later, they've got themselves into the playoffs and probably one of, if not the form team in the Championship.
Yeah, I think we contributed to that as well, obviously conceding. We played okay that day, to be fair. A few too many unforced errors, but obviously conceded a really soft goal at the end of the game, which definitely, I remember, it definitely helped them. So yeah, they're in a good spot there. You know, it's a big club. You know, they're obviously been up and down in the last sort of 5-6 years, so I think it's a case of going there and being us. We've got nothing to lose. We're in a position where, you know, we're in a good run of form ourselves. Take the confidence from the actions we've shown in games and go out there and have a right go. Let's go and, you know, try and, you know, like we have done in previous games, be the best version of ourselves and go and take the game to them.
Thank you very much.
With the hike, have you done anything like that before? Within reason.
Within reason, yeah. I did a course at a Premier League called ECAS.
Okay.
Which is an elite coaches apprenticeship scheme many years ago, and it was a similar 24-hour Premier League. They did a mock-up where you were Civil War in Wales and you were in the Brecon Beacons. So we walked seven in the evening. This is in February when there was a storm on. 7 in the evening till about 4 or 5 in the morning, and then we had the whole following day doing different rescues.
This is you and a group of coaches.
Through the Premier League, yeah. So it was you're awake for 24 hours, but it's the first time I would have continuously walked up and down a mountain for that long, yeah.
I mean, do you like walking up mountains?
Can't say something I do too often.
Yeah. Well, some people love it though, don't they?
To be fair, I've got a couple of dogs. So yeah. I do love getting out walking, and it's something that I do a lot of anyway. But again, I think it's a different challenge when you're doing it non-stop for 24 hours. And like I said, you're climbing, and the downhill's the bit as well in terms of your knees and that side of it. So We've been in the gym a little bit.
I was going to ask that question.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more, a few extras.
Yeah.
Is that Dale, is Dale sort of putting you through, or how's it?
Well, I think it's just trying to steal a bit of time. So we've actually done a few of the opposition games in the gym on the bike and coded while we're watching cycling to try and lose a bit of weight.
Yeah.
Whilst watching the opposition. So we've tried to be cute and clever with our time, we've had.
Yeah, good. So I hope it's... Well, like, what sort of weather do you want? Do you want it to be hot? Do you want it to be... I don't know, yeah. You want
a bit in the middle, good. Just good. Yeah. For some mad reason, Hoggy wants torrential rain.
Right, that'd be the
He's like, if you're going to do something difficult, let's make it as difficult as it can be. And I'm like, no, it's the 24 hours is hard enough. Let's get some decent weather.
Yeah, fair enough. When you back to Eamon, when you said about chats with Brian and having a look at it and what direction is best, is that... the hamstring thing, like, is that you talking about how you train, or is that talking about what you're talking about when you say that?
I think it's a whole thing across the program. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't say it's any one thing in isolation. If anyone could put their finger on it, you'd be a multimillionaire, because every club's facing the same challenge. I think there's obviously been such a huge boom in the, you know, in the strength and conditioning that side of it, and those areas that, you know, of course we have to assess and look at what we're training, how we're training, but we also, you know, the correlation in between the gym and the training, what does that look like, to make sure that everything has to be geared around the Saturday.
Yeah.
So how functional is the gym work? How well do we treat the players so that, you know, the injury prevention helps them stay on the pitch? How good is the football and training program on the pitch to make sure it replicates what they need, and you find that sweet spot of not overcooking them and not undercooking them. That's the biggest bit, I think, in a 55 game relentless championship season. How do you pitch it? So they're the bits where, again, I think we have to be brave and look at us and how we operate.
That's quite challenging though, isn't it, really? Because as you allude to, there is so much football that you have to keep them at a maximum level, but at the same time not pushing too far. I mean, does the game have a problem with that?
I think so. I definitely think when you look at the
demands.
I speak on the lads, like, Knighty goes away, so Knighty will have a quick break at the end of the season for a week, and then he's away with Ireland.
Yeah, well, Mark Sykes was saying
the
same.
Sykes, yeah, Sykes the same. So, you know, when you look at the outputs, I know we spoke about it a lot, December, January, February, a game maybe 3.5 days, I remember after one of the games we spoke, it might have been Birmingham away, where we kind of said it looked a bit, you could tell both teams were tired.
And again,
I think, for me, when you want to ramp it up, the quality then of the product suffers, and so when the quality of the game will suffer just because the physical demands are only getting higher, and you know what you then get with that is the psychological demand. So hence maybe a tiny bit, I thought the weekend were a little bit sloppy, because we haven't been like that for quite a while, maybe a little bit, you know, mentally, stage of the season, the volume of games we've recently had. You know, the first thing, you know, is your brain that gets tired. So that it's definitely something, I think, in terms of, I know I'm not the first person to speak about it, and I won't be the last, but when there's such a demand for it, I'm not sure it'll ever change.
No. How do you keep brains tuned at this stage of the season, given the league position?
I think if you now try and do certain bits, you're probably a bit too late. So I do think in terms of culturally, when we came in, and what we've consistently sort of ran down the players' throats is around practice being excellent every day. It's not something you can turn on and off. You either live being the best you can, or you don't. It's difficult. It's difficult for any human, right? You know, when you've got so much going on, and whether you're tired, whether you've had a row, wherever you're at, I think to turn up and be the best version of yourself every day is difficult. So that's something that we've continuously pushed. So again, we can fall back on that, which is the culture that we have to have. And then it's also, I think, in terms of speaking with the lads, their motivations, but it might be individually.
Yeah.
But also, if we're going to be successful as a team next year, is you can't just take your foot off the pedal. You have to be relentless with how you work. So credit to the players. The last five games, I think they've done an outstanding job of it.
And with Saturday, is there scope for experimentation with a look to next season, or are you taking the game as a game in the context of this season rather than next season? Does that make sense?
For me, I don't like to change how I work, so it's doing everything you can to try and win on Saturday. So again, of course, it's probably nicer to be in a position where you can do it from a position where you know you're safe, you're comfortable either way. But at the same point, for me, it's not. I'm big on people earning the right.
Yeah.
I think in terms of, we have to have that. Now, I've spoken before about in-house competition. I think that you want to use that, people have to earn everything. So whether it be 5 minutes, whether it be 95 minutes, whether it be being in the squad because you're young, whatever it is, I think you have to earn it. And then, as you've seen, we, you know, Jamie obviously at Blackburn a few minutes. And bits and pieces, some of it forced, some of it I think is, you know, where you're going, right, well, let's, now we can, let's find out a little bit. So, it, of course, there's a million factors that go into it.
So, because there were a few, obviously George had a fantastic game, but a few were sort of saying, well, why didn't Jamie start against, start on Saturday, because that was an opportunity to do that. I just wondered, was that a consideration given the lack of centre-backs? Or?
Yeah, it's one we'd briefly spoken about, but at the same point, I know Ross had played there in that position, and I also think there was a level in terms of, you know, knowing their qualities and what they had, I knew it would be quite a lot of George 1v1 against quite a you know, physical player. There's quite a handful, and I said it before, George, I think, is probably one of the best 1v1 defenders in the league for me. So when you've got someone like that, that, you know, George can play most places just because of his qualities. So that was a decision that we went with ultimately. But Jamie's done well. Jamie's progressed. He's just got to keep pushing. I think, you know, sometimes it's hard. He needs to get games at some point.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at, of course, his objective should be to come back and fight pre-season to get in and around the team. But if not, then it'll be a case of going, right, he needs to play. He's got the challenge and the spike of, you know, learning how we work and what we do and the coaching side of it. But you then, you know, you need the test, you need the platform to go and play. So that'll definitely be in our minds at some point for Jamie.
Raf was recalled from Western. Is there anything to read into that?
No.
That's not with the first team consideration. That's with 21's.
No, yeah. Okay. 21's and Brian, and yeah, that's not from us.
No. Okay. Cheers.